Hey everyone, you are listening to the Mom Hour and this is Sarah Powers. So welcome to holiday season 2016. We're really excited to be re-airing a few of our favorite holiday episodes from the past this year. And the first one you're going to hear today is all about gifts that go the distance. So Megan and I chatted last year about our favorite gifts for kids that our kids are still playing with weeks and months and even years after giving them. So if you missed it in 2015, we're bringing it back this year. You can also head to themomhour.com and look for Encore episode number one. And all of the links to these products that we mentioned will be updated. So everything's fresh for 2016. There will be a new show notes blog post linking everything we talked about. If for some reason one of these products has changed, we'll find a new link so that everything will be fresh for this year's holiday shopping 2016. And again, you find that by going to themomhour.com. And look for Encore Holiday episode number one. We're airing this in the first week of December, and it's all about gifts that go the distance. So you can check it out there. And then one final little word of warning. All of our holiday episodes touch on Santa Claus and gift giving and all that goes along with that. So if you have curious ears or kids who might benefit from not hearing the ins and outs of how that works in our households, you might want to not have them around when you listen. And I will just leave it at that. So here goes our first Encore holiday episode, and enjoy the show.
Hi, I'm Sarah. I'm a mom of three kids, ages 2, 5, and 7, and I live in Southern California.
And I'm Megan. I am the mom of 5 kids, ages 6 through 17, and I live in Michigan. This is the Mom Hour, part of the Life Listened Network. Hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 28 of the Mom Hour. I'm Megan Francis, here as always with my good friend Sarah Powers. Hey, Sarah.
Megan, how are you?
I'm great.
Yay.
We are gearing up for the holiday season, so this week we are talking about gifts that go the distance.
Yes.
For kids. Those things that you buy your kids, you know, and maybe they get passed down from child to child, or
yes,
5 years later, they're still playing with them. They don't end up in a pile of broken pieces or like,
yes,
stuffed under the bed or whatever, because we all know how annoying it is to,
yes,
purchase something that we think is great and then have it be basically just a waste.
I feel like gift giving, whether it's holidays or birthdays, gets harder as they get older.
Oh,
and I'm sure you, I feel like I'm just starting to realize this. Like,
yeah,
you know, when they're babies, they just like the wrapping paper.
Yeah.
And when they're 2 and 3 and even 4, it's just all so exciting. But there's that like early elementary school age where you start to kind of have to deal with like Christmas morning disappointment or birthday disappointment. Maybe disappointment's too strong a word, but the expectations and then the reality. They just have bigger kid sensibilities.
Everything they want is costs,
yeah,
a lot more money, and it's not, yeah, as exciting to them. Like when they're, you know, 4, you can really go and shop. I don't even know if they have this anymore, but do you remember when at Target they used to have like the $5, $10, and $15 aisle? There was like, everything in the aisle was like $5, $10, $15,
okay,
or $20.
Okay.
And I remember very distinctly shopping that aisle when Jacob and Isaac were little. And, you know, if we were super broke one year, I might just get them a couple things that were like $5. And they were so excited.
Right.
It could be a Matchbox car for 99 cents and they'd be,
right,
so excited. You know, the bar has been raised.
Yeah. And the things that I feel like the choices, and this is part of what we're going to talk about today, but sometimes as a parent, you know, the types of things that they really are going to use over time, but they might not have the wow factor.
Right.
So there's like the Christmas morning or the birthday wow factor versus the, this is really going to go the distance. And I know they're going to love it, but they might not love it at that moment.
Right.
And so like, I mean, hopefully there's a little bit of everything, but I do feel like it gets a little trickier as they get older. And I'm,
yeah,
sure that's the same for you.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's not something I've really gotten a hint. I just know now that I have to spend a little bit more on the older kids and I'm just not going to get that excitement. You
right.
know, I hope you're going to be taking notes as we talk,
yes,
Sarah, because I have a feeling a lot of stuff is going to come to mind.
Yes.
That,
so,
you know,
that's a good point. So what I thought we'd do is last year, you and I collaborated on a blog post about this, pretty much the same topic, toys your kids will still love next Christmas. And I thought we could kind of go through that. We'll link to that. And then I know because we're us that other things are going to come up and I'm just going to make notes so that by the time you all listeners head over to the show notes at themomhour.com, we will basically have for you a gift guide.
Yes.
It doesn't exist yet because it's going to.
It's in our heads right now.
It's going to be born.
And
as
some of
talk.
It is buried deeply in my subconscious, but.
Well, that's why I thought we'll use this post that we wrote last year, yeah. which has like seven kind of solid good choices of different at different age levels. But I know that's going to bring up other things
yeah.
and I have some other ideas. So by the okay. time you all hear the finished product, just go to themomhour.com. This is episode 28 and we will have links to literally everything we talk about. And if I miss something, yell at me in the comments, but I'm usually pretty good.
You are pretty good.
I'm pretty
You're
good.
Sometimes better than others.
Sometimes better.
So, okay. So I would, since we're talking about big kids, like things have been popping
yes.
into my head.
Yes.
Can I just start there? I have
just
a few
start.
Ideas
yeah.
and then we can backtrack to smaller kids.
Yes.
But a few things that have come to my attention recently. And one is for Will's birthday, actually, we got him a drone with an HD camera built in.
That's awesome.
So this is not, this is what's great about being married to someone like John. Like that is not something that ever would have been on my radar at all. And the boys actually went on a camping trip with John and a good friend of ours who brought this like $2,000 drone with him. It was hilarious because it was like this like backwoods camping, but he had this crazy drone thing that took like high, you know, like high tech video and was awesome. It went really high in the air. So it was a very weird camping trip. But the boys loved it. And I thought, oh, wouldn't it be cool if they had some really cheap version? Well, they did. It turned out they had
so
like
cool.
an under $100 version. It was not, you know, the quality of the video is not what it was on the much more expensive
sure.
version, but it's still really cool. So they take it to the park and they take videos. And it's actually funny because it got stuck on a neighbor's garage and we have all this video of it upside down on the neighbor's garage. And you can see William like approaching with a ladder and
That's
then
awesome.
Going to get one of us for help. And then, you know, you kind of see the ladder come
I
up against
it.
The side of the garage. It's actually really cool.
That was great.
But so that was one that I have no idea what it's called. I'll find out from John and we'll link to it in the show
okay.
notes at themomhour.com. But that was something I never would have thought of. The other thing that we are putting on, you know, our shopping list for Clara for Christmas is one of Amazon's new Kindles, which are $50.
Oh, very nice.
I think it's a Kindle Fire.
Okay.
I don't think they've dropped yet. I don't
okay.
think they've released yet. But she had a tablet that was really, really old, like 5 or 6 years old. And mm-hmm. it just stopped working one day. It just wouldn't charge up. So she left it plugged in for 4 months. And then one day it turned on. And she's like, Mom, my tablet just turned on. And she played with it for one day and then it died again and it's gone. It's dead now.
Dead.
But I thought it was so funny that she left it optimistically plugged in for 4 months. And then one
That's
day
awesome.
It just came to life. But so anyway, if you know, tablets and technology are a thing in your house, you
mm-hmm.
might, and you don't want to lay down the money for an iPad or whatever, you might want to look into the Kindle that's coming.
Well,
out.
And with reading too, because we're getting to the point where now I have two independent readers
mm-hmm.
and, it is like the number, and I've had fun because I love, you know, you and I have discussed, we love the feel of a real book, and I think
yeah.
it's good. I don't want them staring into a lighted screen, you
right.
know, past bedtime necessarily. However, functionally, you know, mixing it up and having something electronic as well, it's because I'm like going to the library, I'm
yeah.
trying not to buy books over and over again, chapter books that I know
yeah.
they're just going to read once when they're into a series or something. So it's fun. It's new territory for me, but that's definitely crossed my mind. I don't think it'll be Christmas this year, but it's got to be. I mean, at some point, they just have to read electronically. It's just too many books.
It is.
Not exclusively electronically.
Right.
There's some, you know, but to have that. But,
and for vacations and travel and stuff like
yeah.
that, it's just so nice to have that option. And also, I didn't realize this. I thought if you're one of those people who like, has the best of intentions to get to the library, but then you end up somehow your books are always overdue. I don't know if that's you. That's me. I just found out, I thought you had to always go physically to the library to get
oh.
digital versions, but you don't.
Yeah.
I didn't
yeah.
know that. You can get
yeah.
it from home.
So ours is the Evernote app. I mean, not Evernote, sorry. What's it called? Overdrive.
Overdrive.
Okay. Totally separate thing. Overdrive. And I think most libraries use Overdrive, but your local library may use something similar, but I think that's the most common one. So it's both audiobooks and ebooks.
So you don't even have to leave your house.
You don't. No, you do not.
That's amazing.
It's great. And mine, when I do the ebooks, it actually comes through the Kindle. So it's like, it actually kicks you over to Amazon and it's just a borrowed Kindle. So if that's your usual like format, you end up reading it in the Kindle format.
Yeah. I should also point out, and I'm not sure how robust their children's section is. I haven't really looked into it, but if you are a member of Amazon Prime, they do have a free lending library as well.
Yeah, and so, I have never gotten into that. Yeah, I don't know what the how the kids books, but that's good. Okay, so I'm going to link.
There's a lot of books on there. I mean, it's, you know, it's kind of hard to navigate. Right. There's so much, and some of it is like, you know, like something will end up under classics, and it's actually someone's self-published ebook, like historical fiction they just wrote last month, and you're like, what? But it's for, you know, it's free. I've taken a chance on a few and have had some good luck. So it's another thing. It's another option to look.
Okay,
at.
Well, we are completely tangential right now, and I'm just going to take that even further and remind people that you just appeared on the Read Aloud Revival podcast, which is a super popular podcast, especially for homeschooling families, but not exclusively, about keeping reading aloud alive and fun and easy and simple in your family with Sarah McKenzie. So since we're talking about books, we should talk about that, and I'll link to it. And it has nothing to do with Christmas presents.
Well, you know, but the thing is, I think that, I mean, neither does really buying, you know, getting books at the library. However, if that helps you feel
we're doing
good,
really well.
If it helps you, I know. But if it helps you feel better about making a significant purchase in a tablet, because you know then you can get a bunch of free books, I think it's relevant.
Yeah.
And I think this podcast is relevant because it's a podcast, and so there.
Okay. There we go.
So, okay. Well done, Sarah. Okay, so the third thing I was going to mention for older kids, and I'm sure more stuff will come up, but we've talked before about giving experiences instead of things.
Yes,
I think that's sometimes hard for little kids.
Yes.
You know, hey, kids, like, it's Christmas morning. You just unwrapped a vacation we're taking next month.
A membership to the Science Museum
doesn't always fly. But for older kids, I feel like they, you know, often have a little bit better sense of, you know, being able to wait for things.
Delayed gratification.
Thank you.
The marshmallow test.
And also, you know, say you can also often make a purchase that goes along with that. So, for example, we went on a ski trip a few years ago. We gave all the kids ski stuff.
Yes.
Cool stuff. Like, you know, like neat. I remember they had these cool like ski masks that had fake beards. They thought those were really funny. I mean, you know, they were at the point where they were like 13 and 15 or 14 and 16. I wasn't going to blow them away really with anything unless I got them a new car, which wasn't going to happen. So, you know, the little things sometimes are really fun for them.
Yes.
The other thing my big kids love are footy pajamas. They get the kick out of footy pajamas, which only go up through children's sizes at most stores. But there is a website where you can buy adult sized. So if you're buying for a really big kid, and we'll put that in the show notes because I can't remember what it's called now.
Yeah.
But then they like to walk around in their footy pajamas, like their onesies, you know, and some of them even have the drop seat.
That is amazing.
Which is even funnier. So
that's awesome.
All right. That's all I got for now for big kids.
No, that's what I had when I made a note about experience gifts too, like the museum membership. And the note that I made was that it's good for babies and toddlers who aren't old enough to care. And then it like skips a whole bunch of years where, like you said, it's just kind of a buzzkill on Christmas morning.
Right.
And then it becomes a great option again.
Exactly.
Because we used to ask for that kind of stuff, zoo memberships and museum memberships, when the kids were really little. And that was a huge help for us financially as a family, and I appreciated it, but they didn't, you know, they might have opened a few things they cared about, but they didn't, it wasn't like going to be their wow gift.
Right. Exactly.
So I think that's a great option. So I'm going to go into this post that we wrote called 7 Toys Your Kids Will Still Love Next Christmas, and just kind of pick a few and see where that takes us. And I'm going to go all the way back to kind of little baby and early toddler gifts. So we both have talked about the Little Tykes Cozy Coupe. Do you know the little car I'm talking about?
Yes.
I have one wheeling around in my backyard right now. And it looks pretty much the same as when we were kids, wouldn't you say?
Oh, I feel like totally.
Yeah.
And I believe that was the one, I think we might have talked about this last year on a holiday themed episode, where I think I told you that was going to be one of the kids' Christmas gifts, but then on Christmas Eve, like everything else that was supposed to be their wow gift fell apart. It was when Owen and Will were little. They were 4 and 2, or maybe 3 and 1. And we had all this other stuff, like a keyboard. Well, it was broken. There was no plug-in cord. Like, it was missing the cord. Then one kid was going to get the cozy coupe, and one was going to get a little motorcycle, and a wheel was missing for the motorcycle. And here it is, like 2 a.m, and John and I are like, what are we going to do? So we gave them both the cozy coupe, and they were thrilled.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't a big deal at all.
No. So. And it's one of those things that big kids will cram themselves into that thing forever. Once you put it, I do think that ours got put together wrong the first time.
Yeah.
But once it's put together correctly, it's really pretty sturdy. I mean, we used to live in Arizona and it was outside all the time, so the plastic fades a little bit, but it is such a classic.
It's a classic. It's sturdy. It lasts forever.
And it totally like goes the distance.
It does.
Whatever they say the age recommendations are, the big kids will defy that by cramming themselves into that.
Absolutely.
Car,
you know, this reminds, and sometimes they'll fit a lot more kids in there than are supposed to. Actually. Yeah. I think it's supposed to be a one oh, rider yeah. thing, but no, we've had multiple children and on someone riding on top, which is probably very unsafe, but, this show is not about safety. So that actually brings to mind something else that I forgot to include last year. Maybe we just didn't have room for it, but something that has come up for me since I was a little kid. And that is those like tube things that you can crawl through. Yes. I remember being, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 and coveting those with, you know, you just, it's, you're still that age where you kind of want to cram yourself into tiny spaces. So and then,
are the ones you're thinking of made of like nylon, like tent material or like,
yeah. Solid? And then they like, okay. But there's and both. And then they pop open, you know, like with the wires.
Those are great.
Yeah.
Those
and so like, I remember, you know, it's that feeling of like going in one end and coming out the other end and how exciting that is when you're a kid. And I just remember like being too, like way too old, like so big, I couldn't have forcibly fit my body into it, and watching little kids play in those and being so jealous.
Those are
all
super fun.
I wanted was to get inside.
And
one of those
are great if you live in a climate where you have several months indoors, because they can fold up small, but you can bring them out and just put them in the living room or wherever
you're
most.
You can put whatever room you're in. It's great.
Yeah. For your Michigan winters or Arizona summers or anywhere where you have to get physical inside for part of the year. That's a great one. Let's see. So we can't go very much farther without talking about Lego, since we both have
it's
Lego obvious, lovers.
Right? But yeah.
And I think you wrote the little write-up last year, which is that, you know, it is one of those things that has both the Christmas morning wow factor and the staying power.
Yep.
And I think there was some comments either on this post or another about, you know, whether you do the like character du jour Lego or more generic. And I think you and I are kind of the same on this, which is they just sometimes want like the Ninjago or the Minecraft set most, but that doesn't mean that they won't build creatively down the line. So I guess I'm not a super purist when it comes to, you know, only having like the free building sets, because that's just sometimes that's just what they want. And if you have a Lego builder, you know that they eventually it all gets mixed together and they come up with their own stuff. So
absolutely. Because I feel like that's the wow. First of all, that's the thing that makes them go, oh, yay, when they open it. And then I know they'll open it up right away and put it together. Like that's a guarantee if I go the character route. And we have an old train table that, you know, my kids haven't played with trains in many, many years. But it at some point just got converted into a Lego table. So the Legos just all get dumped on there.
Yeah.
And so at some point, I mean, within 24 hours, generally speaking, it'll all be mixed up and it'll become, you know, part of something else.
Right.
So I don't feel like it's stifling or limiting. I mean, it's even the character ones, they're pretty like, I mean, the character is the branding or whatever is, it's pretty light. I feel it's usually like the little guy.
Right.
Has some kind of costume on or whatever. Right. And then maybe there's some pieces that you wouldn't find.
It's
in
mostly
the
box.
It's really, mostly, honestly, it's
whatever,
mostly the box.
Whatever like line of Legos that they're into.
Yeah.
Now I will say it's great to have, if you have a starter set or if you're new to Lego, because some of those complicated sets, you just don't end up with as many of the regular bricks.
No,
you
know?
What happened to a regular rectangular brick with the dots? Mm-hmm. So that's worth, maybe not for Christmas morning, but that's worth investing in, just because then when they do start to make up their own stuff, you're not, you don't have a box that's 90% weird shaped.
Right. Exactly. Pieces. Well, when my kids were little, we just gave them both for the first few Christmases that we were kind of collecting, you know, building our collection. So they'd get a big box of basics and a small thing of, you know, not even small, but like one of the medium sized ones that was a ship or a alien or whatever. And then, and then they'd have both and they would. And the great thing about Lego is after a while, you don't really need to invest as much money in it anymore.
Right.
And it just lasts and lasts and lasts. Like there's the output at the beginning while you're building. And then pretty soon, all those little, you know, the big packages plus all the little ones just add up to this mass of pieces and parts. It's pretty fun.
I have to say that, have you ever heard of the website Rebrickable?
No.
So Rebrickable is an amazing concept. I feel like they're still working out the kinks, but basically you go on and you enter the set numbers of the sets that you have, even if the sets are like now in the bin somewhere, and it will pop out different things you can make using the pieces from those sets.
Oh,
it's pretty cool. So if you're like our hardcore Lego, it's kind of a cool concept. But I also want to say that Duplo, so if you're brand new, if you have little kids and you're, this is all like ahead of you, Duplo, which are the kind of
toddler
bigger size, My kids still play. We have a big separate bin of Duplos, and I actually kept them on Duplos for longer because Violet was just starting to crawl when they were starting to be ready for the tiny pieces, and it was like too much for me to handle. I was like, I can't be fishing that tiny stuff out of her mouth. So I kind of waited a little bit before we got super into the big kid Legos, but Duplos are great. And there's a lot of just like a big bin of Duplos. And I would say from like 18 months all the way up to like even 5 and 6 year olds, if they're not really interested in the other Legos yet, Duplos, I mean, we still have them out for everybody.
Well, honestly, I mean, Lego are hard even for 5 and 6 year olds. Not all 5 and 6 year olds have the dexterity to get those little pieces apart. Especially when you start introducing like those flat pieces.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if you don't want to be breaking your nails, helping your kids, like, you know, get their Lego apart all day. Right. I think the Duplos are totally a great place to start. And they're not that big. Isn't there like another?
No.
Isn't there another?
Yeah, there's Mega Blocks, which I think it's not the same brand.
Okay,
I
mean, so
it's
then I'm thinking of something else. Doesn't Lego have like even a baby version? Or am I thinking of something completely different?
I don't know of a baby version. I think of Mega Blocks, and then we also have a Fisher Price one that's literally like one dot, like one.
Right, that's what I'm thinking. Like a huge, it's huge.
Yes.
Yeah.
And those again are good for younger toddlers. But yeah, Duplo you can be pretty sophisticated with Duplo, and they have both like building sets where you can follow some simple instructions, but then they have lots of just generic.
And they've got little characters and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I remember having a Bob the Builder set that we just had for a long time.
Violet just got a Minnie and Mickey train.
Oh, that's cute.
Duplo. So, yes, we are fans of the Lego and Duplo. While we're kind of on the topic, I want to offer some thoughts on kind of licensed character or like TV show, movie-driven toys in general. Because I started out kind of crotchety about that and just, you know, thinking it was, I don't know, just not wanting my house filled with licensed character everything. And then you kind of let go of that as time goes on. But here's something I will say for like Christmas and birthdays is if you don't love licensed character everything, or if you would rather not have, you know, TV shows and movies be the main influence in your child's play, use them for gifts that are going to like just be gone within the next 6 months to a year anyway. So I'm a big fan of giving, like, if they have favorite characters and favorite shows, I'm totally fine with embracing that. But they love it on like a sippy cup or, I'm trying to think of another one. Like Reed has an Angry Birds, blanket, like a soft, like fleecy blanket.
And plushies are good for those stuff too.
Yes, exactly. Stuff that like, I'm not a big fan of it on bicycles.
Yeah.
Like, backpacks, their clothing.
Although sometimes it is hard. Sometimes it's very hard to bypass that, depending on what you're buying. You know, I don't love it either. But like we got Clara last year, like 3 years ago, one of those little, the little motorized cars.
Mm-hmm.
The ones I never had growing up, and none of the boys ever had growing up. And so John and I felt like we had, like, this is our last chance.
Yeah.
But we literally couldn't find one that didn't either have Disney princesses or Barbie. Yes. None.
I know.
Unless we went to like FAO Schwartz and spent, I think, thousands. Literally, they have some for thousands of dollars.
That's so true.
They have like mini Mercedes, which is still just another version of licensing, right?
Yeah, it is. It's a different kind of.
It's just a different kind of echelon, but still.
So anyway, I think that's my strategy is I don't love that. It seems like, especially if you're going into the big box stores, which is for a lot of people and where they live, like the main choices is Target and Walmart and whatever. It just seems like everything is character driven, and that's okay for when they're really into that character. But, you know, if we're talking about toys that go the distance, number one, it's a little tacky to have your whole house look like that. And number two, it may not be what the next kid is into, or like the fad expires. I'm not saying, I mean, it's definitely all over my house. So I hope I'm not coming across as too snobbish about this. I guess my point is that I'm all for it when it's things that are going to kind of like blow over in a little bit anyway. And the kids have the wow factor. So like toothbrushes in their stockings with Angry Birds on them.
Yes, toothbrushes are great.
They are so excited.
Yeah.
And then I don't need to buy.
And then it makes something fun, like a toothbrush fun, which wouldn't otherwise be fun.
Exactly. So I load up on the licensed character stuff on littler things, I guess is my main.
You know, I was just, while you were saying this, I was just thinking the only two things, and I've kind of gone through, you know, back and forth about this too. I'm really crotchety, or I guess I'm more of a stickler when it comes to books.
Mm-hmm.
Like I will not buy a licensed character book unless it's a coloring book. See, again, it's kind of like the disposable thing, you know? I just feel like you can do better for the same amount of money with almost any other kind of book besides, you know, the licensed character books. And I mean, usually the storyline is dumb. It's pointless. So you can do better easily with anything else. But the other thing that within reason, I have a hard time, like, having the character costume pieces unless it's the costume of the character. Does this make sense? Like, if a little girl wants to be Elsa, okay, I don't mind buying, you know, the Elsa costume because it makes sense. It is the Elsa costume. That's what it is. But, like, these generic princess dresses that have, like, four different Disney princesses on the front, I don't get that. Like, you can just buy, like, a cute skirt and it'll go the distance more. And you know what I mean? So, like... But I don't have any problem with it, I guess. Like, I know they have sometimes, like, if they have those nightgowns that sort of vaguely look like Disney princess dresses, but you can't tell which one, like that kind of stuff. I don't mind it. I just try to avoid it because I just think for the same amount of money, you can just find better. There's just better choices.
Right. And I think it's easy, especially when you're like, when the grandparents are asking what they like and what they're really into. It is often a movie, and that's great. Like, the favorite movie and the favorite TV show is great. I think maybe where it helps is to stop and think about what's the toy or the activity that they're really into. And does that particular thing need to be character driven, or can the character driven stuff be part of functional everyday life, like cups and toothbrushes, and coloring books are a great one, and whatever else, because sometimes that more creative play stuff will go the distance longer if it isn't character driven, in my experience.
Yeah.
And the marketers do a really good job of making us think that everything needs to be, or that they will only like it if it is, you know, stamped with XYZ character. But I think, so that brings me to another of the tips that I wrote down, and that is get yourself on the mailing list for toy catalogs that are not from that cookie cutter mess media marketing machine. It's like my favorite thing ever. So I have a few in front of me.
Is great.
Yes. Hearthstone.
Do you Hearthstone. Have Is oh, Hearthstone. Hearthstone.
It's Hearthstone. Hearthstone. Yeah. Hearthstone. Yes. Because that's actually not in this list. But that's right up the same alley. Do you get Magic Cabin? That's my
I
favorite.
Don't anymore, but like, I used to, I always used to love it.
It's like hippie homeschool Waldorf.
Oh, it's all Waldorf. None of the dolls have smiles. They're all, they have little pointy hats on and everything. But it is like magical. Just looking at it makes me feel like, oh.
And then Lakeshore Learning is another one. And then we have one I'm looking at called Mindware, which is kind of like science-y. Even if you don't shop completely, it does a great thing. And then I let the kids look at them and circle things. They think they're like placing an order. But it's, even if we get nothing or buy nothing from them, I think it's great to have them look at those things and then get ideas yourself for just types of toys that are not just what you see in the Toys R Us toy aisle. So
totally agree.
Most of us want to unsubscribe, I would say somehow get yourself on those mailing lists. It's fun.
And most small towns, I mean, most big towns too, but most, like, if you have like a town with a little downtown area, will have at least one toy store that kind of has the higher end brands and the more creative stuff. And sometimes just walking around those can give you ideas. Yeah. I like to support those stores, so I will try to buy something from them, whether it's, you know, just like that one special gift or just a few little things for the stockings or whatever, depending on my budget and what we're looking for that year. I always end up buying something, and they usually offer free gift wrapping too, which can be
That's really nice.
But also, I've just gotten kind of inspiration from them. Like, for example, a lot of them have this little, I can't even think what it's called, maybe like Woodsies or something. They're like these little animals.
Like calico critters?
Calico critters. But is a calico critter like the high-end version, or is that the Target version? Because there's a Target version as well.
Okay. No, calico critter, I think, is high. I don't think of it as super high-end, but I think it is.
It's more expensive. You can spend kind of a pretty penny, though, once you start getting the accessories. So one year we got Clara this adorable calico critter's little house that had, like, I think I want to say a bear family. It's really well made. The pieces are great. Like, the dresses don't, you know, they're easy to get on and off, and like stuff doesn't fall apart. And the next year it just wasn't in the budget. And then I realized that Target has a knockoff version. Yeah. And so I got some pieces for Claire to stick it. You know, was it as nice as the calico critters? No, but I got the idea because I was in a store that didn't have all those distractions of all the cart, like the character driven stuff. And I was like, oh, this is a good idea. Then the next year I was able to kind of build on it in a budget friendly way. I think I probably was at, I think it was Target, either Target or maybe like one of our other big box stores, but I'm pretty sure Target.
That's such a good philosophy in general, is kind of to start with it's like your wardrobe, right? You have like your staple pieces or a couple things that you maybe spend a little more on, or, you know, are going to last longer, and then you can accessorize. American Girl too, it's the same thing where there's a target line of, and Allegra loves to look at the little, it's mostly, she likes like the idea of like a sleepover set for the dolls where they have like pizza and all these things. And that's another great way where you can kind of mix and match the big ticket items with some knockoff accessories.
Yeah. I don't know if you had something else that you wanted to segue into, but
no, go for
something
it.
Just popped into my head. This is taking a little bit of a veer off into a different direction, but it's just something I decided I was going to be kind of curmudgeonly about now that I never really was. And so bear with me here. I just threw away like 17 board games. Okay. That's maybe a little bit of an exaggeration. And I have vowed to myself that I will no longer purchase the electronic version, the character version, the, you know, new and improved championship version of any classic board game. We're getting the classic version or we're not getting it. Because I'll tell you what, I had four different versions of Monopoly that have been given to the kids mostly by relatives. But sometimes we would buy one because we're like, oh, what are we going to get? Like, oh, this would be, you know, this is a filler gift. You know how like you need one more gift?
Yes.
And you're standing there, you got to get out of the store and you're like going crazy. So you just grab that like one thing. And it's often been some kind of like special version. And I tell you what, I don't know if it's, they don't invest as much time anymore in making sure the pieces all go back in a logical fashion. That could be part of it. I feel like the boxes break down faster. The pieces get lost. They all get mixed up. They have weird pieces that like need batteries or don't really serve any purpose, and they're big and clunky. And I just had enough. We used to love playing board games with the kids, and I feel like we haven't done it as much lately because every time we'd go to play a board game, it would be this big ordeal of pulling everything out and going, So the kids had been playing this vintage version of Life that I got at a garage sale just because I thought it looked so cool. It was like really old. They've been playing that more than these new board games they got. So I start with a clean slate. All we have left now is chess, checkers, and Chinese checkers, which, I mean, you can't get more classic than that.
Right.
And then I think I have Yahtzee, because that was just Yahtzee.
Yeah, that's
and,
a good one.
Like Uno. But I'm starting over. This year, we're getting new Monopoly. We're getting new Sorry. And it's going to be classic. Like the one that fits in a small box and just has normal pieces.
Yeah.
Except no,
I hear you. And board games are something that I feel like, when your kids are not quite ready for them, or when they're in the, say, to like 4 to 6 age range, board games get exciting in theory, but it's been very frustrating for me before my kids could read. And when I had a young toddler, board games were pretty much like my personal nightmare. And we're just finally getting to where the older two can play it on their own, or where it's actually fun to play them with them. And I still have a toddler, but it's that part's getting a little bit easier. So, whereas a lot of Christmas and birthday gifts, it doesn't bother me to buy a little bit ahead of where they are developmentally, books, for example, or clothes they can grow into, or things that like, it's maybe not perfect for right now, but they'll start to love it soon. And I almost think board games, I would not recommend that strategy. It's just, if they're not ready for it, if it's too hard, or it's just going to require a lot more, you know, adult supervision. Yes. And I just feel like for a few years there, it was games that in theory we should all want to play together that just didn't work.
It's one of those, like, the ideal versus the reality. And I will also say that that like 3 to 8 year old range, you know, 3 to 7, maybe you are a prime target for marketing of all those junior versions of games. Some of them are well thought out and some of them actually work, but a lot of them are crap. A lot of them aren't fun. They seem like they're targeted toward the right age range, but then, you know, it just doesn't work. It's not the game you think it is. It's like some kind of bastardized version of the game you grew up loving.
Right.
And then you're trying to like kind of shoehorn your kids into this one game, and it just doesn't work. And so I sort of decided just to skip that. Like, I think we did that with Jacob and Isaac, and we had, you know, lackluster experience. Well, the fact that I don't have any of those anymore probably tells you they weren't that great. We just decided to wait. If you're not ready for the real version,
I think that's good advice. I think we kind of got into the idea of board games too early. Like, it seemed like they're ready for board games. And now I feel like 3 years after we said that, they're really ready for board games. I got beat in chess, legitimately beat by my 5-year-old in chess yesterday.
That's great.
Now, I'm not an amazing chess player, but I was trying.
Yeah.
Like,
I feel like I wrote a blog post now. This is like, you know, kind of hitting my memory here, where I wrote something about how to play board games with your kids without losing your mind. I'm going to have to look this up.
All right.
One of them was, you know, kind of come up with your own version of the game. That's, you know, that makes it 10 minutes instead of 2 hours,
right,
and let them win. I mean, I was shameless about throwing the game when my kids were younger. One other thing I will say before we move on from this topic is one thing I find is a way to kind of ease into the board game thing, especially if you want to buy something fun. That's like one of those, yay, I got this game, but like it doesn't take up a lot of room, are card games.
Yes.
Card games are like, I kind of feel like you can fudge a little bit on card games. Like they don't have to quite be old enough because there aren't these, like all these moving pieces.
Right.
The directions are usually pretty simple. Yep. You can kind of fake it a little bit if they don't really know.
Storage.
They don't take up much storage and they're not expensive. You know, if you spend less than $10, then like it's not a hit. Okay. No.
Yep. And memory games are fun. I mean, I feel like the kids can start to play simple memory games. And we have one that I'll link to called Chomp, which is, we got it as a birthday gift, and it's basically war, like where you're each playing a card or whichever, but it's with sharks, with ocean animals, which Reed loved. So it's like the shark beats the fish and the fish beats the shrimp and stuff. So it's cute. That's a great idea.
We have a version of memory that we got. One of the kids got in a Wendy's Happy Meal or kids meal like 7 years ago. And out of all the kids meal gifts and stuff that we've ever had, or toys we've ever had, we still have this Wendy's memory game rattling around. We play it all the time.
I love it. I like memory. That's a fun one.
Yeah, it's fun. It's easy.
I'm also terrible at that. So.
I'm terrible at it too, but that works out great because then they just always win and they're happy.
It's my spatial challenge. Exactly. I'm not
Me too. I'm like, I swear I just saw it. It was there. It was there. And you know, the kid's like, no, mom, it was one row over. Like,
I'll beat anybody in Boggle. But
yes, me too. Me too.
Okay, I have a couple of other specific things from our post that we wrote that I want to mention. One is Magna Tiles. Do you guys have Magna Tiles?
We do not.
Okay, they're really expensive.
You told me about them. Yeah.
That's what I'll say up front. And the knockoffs, in my experience from the times that I've encountered them, are not as good. Doesn't mean you shouldn't get them, because if that's the budget and you want something similar. But Magna Tiles last. I mean, you could drive over them with a semi truck and they will still be there. They are so durable. If you don't know what they are, they're magnetic building. They're sort of two-dimensional, like little flat shapes, but they're so magnetic that you can stick them together to build different things. And obviously I'll link to it and show a picture, but I have to mention them because the price can be so prohibitive. The first year I asked for them from grandparents and we got a really small set, because the small sets are still like $40 or something, but you only get a certain number of pieces. And then we built on it from there. But it is so worth it. Every kid who comes to my house plays with Magna Tiles. Grown-ups love to play over Thanksgiving. Whenever the last time I had a bunch of family here, I brought them out at the table where everybody was sitting around, because I kind of wanted the kids to mingle, but the adults to be able to keep talking. And the adults were playing with them. They're amazing. So that is one that, if the budget is there, or if you have relatives asking for a gift, or if you just want to start the collection and add to it, that I'm a huge, huge fan. So.
That's great. I love when there's like a super specific thing people are really excited about.
You always know like the things that other kids who come to your house always play with. And for us, one of them, because I don't have that cool of toys, I'm usually not that house that's that awesome. But Magna Tiles, everybody loves Magna Tiles. And the other one is these, I put this in the list that we'll link to too, but is these play scarves. Like, you know, like the silky. Yeah. But the ones that, I think they are from Magic Cabin, actually, in this case, the ones that we got, and they're not super expensive, but they're bigger and stronger than most of the little ones. Like if you go to like, you know, music class at the library or something, they're those little, and they kind of are mesh and rip. So these are really durable and they're really big. And I think what I wrote about in the post is that kids have played with them. I mean, they are superhero capes. They are costumes. The other day they tied a bunch of them together like Rapunzel style and were dangling them down from the second floor. And it'll be a baby doll blanket. It'll be, you know, like, I don't even know. And I love toys like that really will, over the years, just work into other imaginative play. And that's the idea. But this particular set, they're bigger, so they can use them for more things. And I've washed them in the washing machine. I don't know if you're supposed to, but I have, and they're good. So those are two more specific things from my end.
You know, one thing I just thought of, is that it was a few years ago, Clara's gift. It was when we were working with One Step Ahead, and I got an art easel. Mm-hmm. One side's a chalkboard, the other side's a dry erase board, and then there's like a roll down paper thing. And that is like out in our living area because I didn't want to put it in Clara's room. She doesn't spend a lot of time in her room anyway. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want it to just get kind of like lost up there and forgotten about. So I put it kind of right in our center of our living area. And everybody plays on that thing.
Like, oh, that's great.
You know, whenever the kids are just kind of hanging out in the living room, someone will, you know, write something on the chalk or on the dry erase side. And half the time it's like some kind of cryptic code. I have no idea what it is, but it's just one of those things. It looks really nice. It's solid. It looks like a piece of furniture. Mm-hmm. So I don't mind having it in there. And it's just one of those things that, like, you know, was Clara, she was excited when she opened it. Did she play with it all day? No, not really. But it's just something that's lasted and has given our family a lot of use. Anytime like younger kids come over, there's something for them to do because there's an easel there. They can draw on it with chalk or whatever. I mean, she can play school. It's really kind of fun. And that's been one of those that's really gone the distance. And the other thing is puppet theaters and kitchen stuff.
Kitchen. I was going to say play kitchens. We've never had a puppet theater, but that's another great one.
They just get used for so many different purposes and the kids can really get creative with them. So I like them for that reason.
Play kitchens, I was just about to say for sure, because that's one that, and I don't know if this even needs saying, but if you're right at the beginning of parenting and you are maybe going to have more kids, definitely go for generic colors. I mean, I know I'm not anti-pink at all, but kind of like the licensed character thing, if you have a pink-loving girl, there are things you can get that are pink that aren't going to pinkify your whole future. Like the cozy coop in the kitchen and things that, even if it's not you having more babies that may or may not love pink, but just hand-me-downs and, you know, so that's all I'll say about that.
And those are also the kind of toys I really have always liked to have out in the main area of the house.
Yes.
I just feel like they're the kind of thing that kids play with enough that they don't need to be relegated to like a bedroom. Or a toy room, unless the toy room they're in it all the time, you know? So yeah, consider like what your personal style is when you're doing that kind of thing, because you might find you want it right outside your real kitchen. Right. You might find you want it in your real kitchen because while you're cooking, you know, maybe your toddler wants to pretend to cook too. So it's that's a good tip.
Love the pink, but again, there's things.
If you have a pink kitchen and you love pink, go for it, I guess. But
go for it. we've kind of gone down our list, and then we've obviously come up with a lot more.
I feel like we should really briefly cover stocking stuffers.
Okay, go for it.
You know, we already talked about licensed toothbrushes, which that is genius. One thing that I always put in stockings is Play-Doh. It's cheap. It is exciting. Like, kids get excited about Play-Doh. They love it, especially if you get the cool colors. You know, you can kind of go outside the box a little bit and get like the set that has like the small ones, but they're in like neat neon or pastel colors or whatever. Or you can get like the little accessories. That's something that's always kind of gone over really well for us. I'm trying to think what else we do for stocking stuffers. Depends on the age of the kids. Those little packages of playing cards or trading cards. Sometimes the kids will even trade for different games. So like one kid's into Pokemon and one's into something else. And sometimes those can even be kind of cross over. What else? What do you do for stockings?
Toothbrushes I mentioned before, but usually like an outrageous toothbrush. Like we have Star Wars ones that light up, like a novelty.
They're
toothbrush.
Huge. They never fit inside the toothbrush thing.
Don't. Yeah. Band-Aids. It's another functional, Band-Aids. But can be like your favorite licensed character.
Yeah.
My husband's family grew up always doing toiletries in stockings. And I know he's not the only one. There's other families that do like your toothpaste and your toothbrushes. And then I didn't grow up doing that, but I feel like we've kind of come halfway. So we usually do some functional items like that, but that are really fun.
Yeah.
So they might get toothbrush, Band-Aids, and even underwear maybe, or socks.
We do underwear.
But it's usually their favorite licensed character or something really fun and silly. But Band-Aids are a fun one. Violet loves
Band-Aids. We do underwear and socks. And I have to say also the stocking is where we've first introduced to every kid things like deodorant. Older kids, Axe body spray. Not that we buy them Axe body spray, but like not the body spray, the shower gel. Uh-huh. When they've kind of crossed over into big kid land, that's how we let them know it's time.
Yeah.
It's time for you to start using this stuff on your armpits and doing a better job washing yourself. Merry Christmas. They get super excited about it. So
that's great.
Now that's all the older kids, and Clara usually now gets some kind of bubble bath or, you know, whatever.
Nail polish.
Yeah. Something for that is exciting for her. We were always big into toilet. My family, not as much. John's family is totally a toiletry in the stocking family. And I got on board with that because I love toiletries. And I
know. Socks. It's fun. And especially then when you get to the young adult college age with the boys who... Yes. maybe aren't going to Target all the time, like new shampoo, you know?
Yeah. Like, well, last year we got Jacob and Isaac both really nice shaving kits, like, you know, with the, not like the thing that everything goes in, but like really nice razors or kind of this cool kind of hipster brand.
Right.
I don't know. The handles were wooden. I have no idea what they were. But they thought that was kind of cool, especially because they both need to be shaving more often than they are. It was kind of a nice reminder, like, you got to get rid of that. Yeah. That sketchy stash you got going on, son.
No, I will say something I've learned with stockings and younger kids. So say like, under 8 or 9 years old, is that they are so, the frenzy is so extreme in the going through the stockings that if you, if there's something in there that sometimes I've made the mistake of putting something in the stockings because it's small and it fits, but really it's maybe a gift that I want to have a little bit more attention paid to.
Right. That
I did
makes
that with
a lot
some
of sense.
Really cool plastic dragons for Reed last year because he loves dragons, and these are really nice. Do you know that Schlike?
Oh yeah,
brand?
Schlike. Yeah, yes. The heavy ones. Yeah,
beautiful. And like it was like totally got missed, and they were really nice. It was like a dragon and a dragon rider guy, but anyway,
yeah.
So
that's my personal
just know
rule.
That stockings sometimes get like torn through, and you're like, but wait, there was something really cool in there.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. For my kind of personal rule, for whether something goes in a stocking or not, is it sort of a throw? Not a throwaway. Yeah. That's not the right word, but you know, like a is this supposed to be the star, or can this, you know, be part of the choir? And if it's supposed to be a star gift, then it does not go in a stocking, because I totally agree that it sometimes gets overlooked.
Thanks for listening, everybody. That is it for this encore episode of The Mom Hour. Hey, Megan and I are not slacking off this December. We still have brand new episodes in your ears every Tuesday of this month. So these encore episodes are bonus for you. So we will be back with you on Tuesday with a brand new show. In the meantime, we appreciate all of your iTunes reviews. Please keep on rating and reviewing the show if you can. It helps us so much. We also love to see you on social media. We are on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter as The Mom Hour. You can also email us hello@themomhour.com just to say hi. Thanks, everybody. Happy holidays. We'll talk to you soon.